Welcome, brothers and sisters in Christ. You're listening to the Easter Sunday worship service of Third Presbyterian Church. Third Presbyterian is located in the Enos Park neighborhood of Springfield. You're listening to this worship on Sports Radio 1450 AM and 92.3 FM. In the ancient church, on the day of celebration of Easter, they would offer a special greeting to one another. A person would say, "Christ has risen," and the other person would respond with, "He has risen indeed." For our call to worship, I simply say, "Christ has risen," and we respond with, "He has risen indeed." Alfred Henry Ackley was a pianist and traveled with the revival tour of a man named Billy Sunday. In 1933, at the age of 46, he wrote the song, "He Lives." This has become a standard in church hymns. So please join us in singing the words beginning with, "I serve a risen Savior."
And Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer, and just the time I need Him, He's always. Talks with me along life's narrow way.
He lives,
salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see His loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that He is leading through all the stormy blasts. The day of His appearing will come at last.
He lives,
Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way.
He lives,
salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind.
He lives,
He lives,
The Apostle Paul was one of the most prolific writers of the New Testament. One of his books that goes by the title of Romans was a letter he wrote to the early church long before he would actually visit that church. Please listen to what he tells us in the Word of God from Romans 8, 31 through 39. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to the slaughter. No, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Again, you're listening to Sunday morning worship service of the Third Presbyterian Church on Sports Radio 1450 AM and 92.3 on the FM dial. Will you pray with me? Lord, now let the words from my mouth and the meditation on all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight and remind us that you are our rock and our salvation. Amen. Today is Easter Sunday. It's the day we observe that Jesus could not be contained in a tomb, could not be stopped by physical death, could not be bound to this earth. Today represents the turning point when everything changed. God had not only come to earth in human form, but God's power over death would transform humanity forever. Nothing would be the same. The Apostle Paul is reminded of that first Easter when he's writing to some of the Christians who are meeting in the city of Rome. Now keep in mind that this was the jewel city in the Roman Empire, and the pagan religion of Rome was seen with lots of physical things, statues of gods on almost every street corner, huge temples for worshiping the pagan gods. There was even a cover-all-the-bases statue, a statue for the unknown god. These Christians lived among the finest architecture known to humans. They lived in a society that valued and cherished material things. When Paul writes to them, he's not concerned at all with material things, but with human things. In our reading for today, he talks about the death of Christ and the power to overcome death. And he talks about the resurrection of Christ so that we as humans can also be alive. He looks at it in two ways. First, this resurrection is greater than all the suffering and misfortune that we may find in life. In fact, he points out that we are more than conquerors. Second, he assures us that this power over death and Jesus' resurrection is so consummate that nothing in this world or anything beyond this world can separate us from God's love in Jesus Christ. That's a powerful resurrection. Now, there's a phrase you hear which often goes, I know that my Redeemer lives. That seems to be a very positive phrase, a phrase in the Bible where it should be surrounded by great celebration. Perhaps we might find this in the book of Acts, right, when the church added thousands of new members. Maybe it's something Peter would say or Paul would use in an argument, particularly for the church at Rome. I know that my Redeemer lives, but it's in none of these places. It's in the book of Job. We've all heard of this book. It's not a happy story. The quote, "I know that my Redeemer lives," comes at the point in the story where Job has lost his family, his farm, his wealth. He has boils on his skins, and the scripture tells us that he's sitting on the top of a pile of dung. The Sunday morning church word for dung is manure. Life could not get any worse. That was until three of his supposed friends show up and tell him that the result of his life being in the pits must be because of what he did or failed to do. Wow, with friends like that, who needs enemies? So here's Job. His life could not be more than dead. But in the midst of all of this death and loss, he has only one thought. I know that my Redeemer lives. In fact, he goes on to proclaim that even when his skin is gone, he will continue to see this Redeemer with his own eyes. For Job, eternal resurrection of God was not for the physical things. Job had lost all of that. But it was for him, the human Job. I once heard a preacher say that the book of Job sounds a little over the top, but really, if you live long enough, everyone probably experiences everything that happened to Job. For in life, we will all frequent moments when life seems like we're sitting on piles of manure. We will experience moments when life seems hopeless. Motivational speakers will tell you that if you're digging yourself into a hole, the first thing that you need to do is stop digging. That's a great motivational advice, but all of us know that sometimes we have been sunken into a deep hole, and the question is not whether or not we should stop digging. We've stopped digging. The question is, how are we going to get out of this deep mess? Paul tells the church at Rome that we may experience the following. He lists trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, or danger of sword. Paul never sugarcoats anything. But then Paul reminds us that there is the resurrection of Christ, this resurrection thing that's going on. And life becomes filled now with hope. Because Jesus rose from the dead, not for all the material and riches of the world, but Jesus rose from the dead for us humans. According to Paul, this resurrection makes us more than conquerors. The word conqueror in the Greek is nikaho. Nikaho. It is understood as someone who overcomes or prevails. The root word is Nike, which means victorious, and makes all the sense in the world why the number one athletic shoemaker company in the world would also be called the Greek word Nike. The Roman passage also has the prefix hupo, which implies that it is beyond, hupo na kaheo. The resurrection of Jesus empowers us to be more than conquerors. Paul goes on to suggest that this power also keeps us from ever being separated from the love of God in Jesus Christ. I think about being a conqueror. I love thinking that I'm also more than a conqueror. Now, I want to say a word of caution. The resurrection of Christ does not make us more than conquerors instantaneously. We do actually live a walk of faith, a day-to-day practice, a slow overcoming of the difficulties that hit our lives, the piles that we wind up sitting on. We do not suddenly put on some magic suit and bam, we are more than conquerors. Here's a story that I think brings this concept home. There was an obscure movie that has an even more interesting title that was released in 1995. The movie is entitled The Englishman Who Went Up a Hill But Came Down a Mountain. It is loosely based on what many accept as a true story that happened in a small Welsh town towards the end of World War I. Tucked behind this town was a large formation that had for years been referred to as the town's mountain. The town was proud. Many legends and tales were told about this mountain. As the story unfolds, English maps were being revised, and it was determined that to separate a hill from a mountain was that a mountain would have to be at least 1,000 feet tall. As it turns out, some government surveyors showed up and determined that the mountain was 16 feet short of the minimum, and therefore no longer a mountain, but a hill. This was devastating to the town. Certainly, a mistaken measurement must have taken place. They demanded it be rechecked. The surveyor said that they would be back in a week. The local pastor emerges in the star role in this town story. He's convinced that these numbers and lines on maps are purely arbitrary, human numbers and lines, and he tells the people that to resolve this problem, they need to work for the next week to make the mountain taller. Of course, the way to do that was to bring dirt from the valley to the top, hand-carried, one bucket at a time. The pastor was able to unite the town and inspire the town to make this goal. They began day and night, one bucket, one person at a time, carrying dirt from the bottom all the way to the top of the mountain. After the week and after everyone was completely exhausted, the surveyors came back, and when they checked again with the added dirt, the elevation was now 1,007 feet, 7 feet over the threshold. Their mountain was once again a mountain. And they were not just conquerors, but they were more than conquerors. The resurrection of Jesus, moment by moment, day by day, bucket by bucket, keeps rising us up and solidifies our relationship with God, a relationship so powerful that nothing at all, not all the challenges and all the piles of manures we stumble into in life, can separate us from our Redeemer who lives. May you find on this Easter day the power of the resurrection in your life so that no matter what you face, God can embolden you to be more than conquerors because our Redeemer lives. Amen and amen. One of the most popular songs written by Bill and Gloria Gaither is the song Because He Lives. Written in 1971, it came at a time when they were expecting their third child and they were facing several difficulties in their lives. Gloria recalls that she was sitting in the room on New Year's Eve when the words came to her for this song from John 14:19, Because I live, you will live also. Please join us in singing this hymn, Because He Lives. Today is Easter Sunday. We gather because he lives. Will you join me in this special Easter prayer? God of resurrections, your power over death that we celebrate on this day reminds us that not only have you given us the ability to enjoy an eternal life, but you are the Messiah, the one sent from God to bring us an abundant life as well. On this day, as much as we experience joy, we face many difficult places in our lives. Sometimes we feel that we too are also like Job. But your resurrection power makes us more than conquerors, and it provides us that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Jesus the Christ. We ask you to break into our lives and bring us answers and help in whatever place we find ourselves, in our personal lives, in the life of the people around us, and the life of the difficult days of this disease that we call COVID-19. We know we belong to you, and we claim this day that what you did for us is because of your love for us. May we be empowered and transformed. In the name of the risen Christ, we pray all of this. Amen. Thank you again so much for listening to our radio show this day. I'd like to share with you just a bit of information about our church. If you'd like more information about Third Presbyterian Church, please visit our website, third-presbyterian.org. On that website, you can listen to some of the previous radio casts. There's an opportunity to submit prayer requests, and you can contribute to the ongoing ministry of our church. I especially want to thank this morning our organist, Lynn Martin, and our praise team, Jeff, Corrie, Dawn, Braden, Grace Ann, and Seth. And to Faith and Seth, who do our soundboard, and to Seth for putting the service all together. I'm the pastor of Third Presbyterian Church, the Reverend Dr. John Shear. Galatians 5:1 reminds us that it is the risen Savior, Jesus the Christ, who has set us free. We are going to end our worship today by singing a song about freedom in Christ written by John Egan. The song is titled, I Am Free.
Through you the blind will see, through you the mute will see, through you the dead will rise, through you all hearts will screams, I am free.
God of peace, who brought Jesus back from the dead, equip you with all you need for doing his will. And may the risen Lord produce in you all that is pleasing to him, and all glory be forever and ever. Amen.